my last one. Why should it's okay. Alright. I was gonna go ahead and ask a few background questions. Mm-hmm. This is kind of, if you wanna just say how you started out, how long you've been teaching.
Okay. Okay. Well, I started teaching here in Washington, Indiana 33 years ago. Taught 1 year in Boonville, Indiana before I came here. Liked Washington so well, just decided I'd stay.
Have you always taught kindergarten?
No, I had, when I first came here, I had fifth grade. Then the next year, I did seventh and eighth grade. And then I did home ec class, started a home ec class and did that. And then went back to first grade. And then I kept saying, you know, we need to have a kindergarten in our school because we're losing a lot of our students. And then the superintendent, Sister Joseph Blue, said, well, okay, start a kindergarten. So I did.
So it was up to you.
Mm-hmm. So I started the kindergarten about 25, 26 years ago, and taught every year until now, till this year.
I didn't realize that we never
We didn't have
one. Uh-uh.
Had first grade down at St. Simon's, and then I started kindergarten. Stayed with it.
So, before you started teaching, did you have any kind of background college-wise?
Yes, I had my bachelor's degree. And then, I had one more class or something to take. And so they just sent us out to teaching. We hadn't had our student teaching yet. So a teacher came around to our classroom every month and evaluated us. And we had to do lesson plans for that teacher, just like we were doing student teaching. But at Boonville, I had 56 first grade children.
Wow.
And no experience. I prayed for the kids all the time. That was a big class.
Yeah. So, do you remember your first day at MC? Do you remember your first?
Oh, yes. I had 16 boys and 16 girls in fifth grade, and they were quite active. But I had been raised with six older brothers, so I was up to some of their little stinkerish things they did. But it was fun. I loved it.
Do you ever see anything?
Yes, all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taught some of their children, and yes, I still see Jamie Miles and different ones, and tell them that they gave me my white hair. But actually, they didn't. They were pretty good.
Do you remember any one thing that might have scared you a little bit your first year?
My very first year, yes, I had a terrible experience on the very first day of school. We had a new principal. She'd never been principal before, and none of us had ever taught first grade before. So, no one had ever told me about they may go on different buses. So, I got all 56 of them ready to go out through the buses, and I said, which bus do you go on? Meaning number 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He said, a big yellow bus. And they all said, a big yellow bus. And we got outside, and a whole line of big yellow buses, because our students always went home on the public school buses. And dear God, I didn't know which bus they went on, and they were crying, and I was ready to cry, and the principal screaming at me, said, you should have put tags on them, and I didn't know what bus to go on. So we were till about 5:30 that night, taking children home. And from that day till the very day I quit teaching, I tagged every child, even though I knew exactly where they were going.
I mean, that
would scare the life out of me.
Is there any one thing that happened that you remember that was really positive about?
Oh, a lot of things. I just love the children to pieces. And some of them came from homes that they really weren't loved, and they would say, sometimes, can I come home with you? And always break my heart, because I love them, take them home with me. But I just became very attached to them. And it was just my life. I spent every minute in that classroom. I loved it.
Was it hard not to have favorites?
No, you know, it has never been hard for me not to have favorites. Maybe the very first day you'd see someone and they just won your heart. But by the first, second, third week, they all won my heart. You know, they really did. There was something special about every little person. And I think I really could say to this day, you know, there was somebody that I just couldn't buy.
Is there one student that you've had over all these years that just stuck out?
Now, when I see them, you know, my heart I just have a warm place tonight. And even these older, you know, people like you, and even older, they just come up and I just have to give them a hug. And these big old Hanyot guys that are 6 foot tall, and they put their heads down my shoulders, and they just are very warm and loving. And
that's
I'll never forget them. I love being in this town for so long. You know, this is going on my 35th year to live here. And to see all these little children that I taught have children of their own and pretty soon grandchildren of their own, you know, and still we get to stay here. I'm just so lucky. I really like it.
Without
any
kids in the class, we usually
have this when I was like, doing people, being them to do things that you want to do. Not then, you know, children then were, you know, most of them had never been to kindergarten and they were probably just as scared as I was, you know. But I couldn't say, Brooke, I've ever really had much discipline problems through these years. I really haven't. It just seemed like, I don't know, I just was lucky. I guess they just fell in line and they were, you know, they wanted to do it because I wanted them to do it. And I never really had to punish big time. I think I only gave one child a spanking one time. And, you know, I hated to do that, but it seemed like that was the only thing spoke to him. And so after that, we didn't have any problems.
So
you see how you disciplined back into things now, is it a little different? Because with all the violence in the schools and the, if you look at my kid wrong kind of thing. Uh-huh. Well, you know, I just seem like I would love them and they obey. You know, it's really, I see the difference in children. You know, I see they have so much more and they watch TV so much more and all these things come out that I just say to them, you know, I don't have much time to watch TV and I'm not up on those things, so we're going to talk real things. We're not going to talk about TV programs and the violent things. And so we would just, if they wanted to, for sharing time, I just had them to share something for real. You know, nothing they'd seen on TV. And that kind of helped too. But they didn't like it sometimes because they would say, well, don't you have a TV? Because they couldn't imagine life without a TV.
Did you see a difference in the way kids learned when you first started teaching?
Yes, but
like 10 years?
If I would have known, you know, 30 years ago, how to have better helped children than I know now, that maybe had learning disabilities we just can't expect children to all learn the same level. You know, you and I couldn't. If they gave us something to learn new and we were locked up in a room, we wouldn't learn at the same rate. And we wouldn't get a pack of 10 pages finished at the same time. But we expect children to do that sometimes, you know. And children, you know, we know now better some of their learning problems and can help them through it. And not everybody can learn the same way. Some people can learn by writing. Some people can learn by drawing. Some people can learn by rote. It's just been so many ways.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember when I was a kid. Did you have the same class all day long for
the
half day?
No, half day. We had morning class and afternoon class.
I mean, did you have like the same year of students?
Yes.
Some classes that they need for reading.
Right. No, at that time we had the same. Like, I was the only kindergarten teacher, so I had them all morning. I think we were in the afternoon class, right?
Yeah.
So I had all the morning class, and then I went home and then the afternoon class. But I was the teetotal teacher, and I had a helper. Always a nice helper. Really good.
So how did you help the kids that were at different places, or how did you break that up?
I would set little learning centers, and I'd make out tapes, you know, and have someone listen to those and follow directions. Someone was really having a hard time, and then just challenged them by having little reading groups, and because most of the time, new people all learned to read if we left into them.
I have a picture yeah. sitting on the couch with our little headphones
yes.
sitting next to
uh-huh.
the snow. Yeah, I have this picture.
I was
trying to think of, I know that basically you decorated the classroom
like
you wanted it, but like
mm-hmm.
the couch and things, did you bring that in? Or
uh-huh. I brought it in. Totally. There was nothing in there for my kid. Nothing at all. So my mom and dad had this old couch, and I thought it would be kind of cuddly for us to use there, and you all climb up on it and enjoy it. And then I don't know if I had the old bathtub when you were there. I thought I did. And we used that a lot for talking about things. Times the two of them would get in a fight. You know, they were fighting in line, and I'd put them in the tub for a little while and I'd talk about it. And then sometimes they made out tapes in the tub. They would say things they wanted to say on the tape, too. You know, it was so cute to hear them. So I had a lot of learning centers and working with children at different levels because some. By Thanksgiving, could hardly know A from the number two, you know, or three or four. And then some of you people were already learning words by that time, so.
Yes. the class I'm in now is a first grade class, and then third year in the last edition, and but it's a self-contained class too. And they do a lot of group work at the centers and things, and they have computers and that kind of stuff too. I mean, obviously that not really heard this, but with the new technology and stuff now, it was a big advantage to have that now. But I mean, you had makeup for it, so kind of things that you need to take the place of that.
That's right. I had to make a lot of things we used because we didn't have that much money to buy a bunch of things. But, you know, sometimes I look around and you know, last year, my ending year of teaching, I used the computer a lot with the children. But I think of some of the little makeshift things I made that maybe was just as valuable.
I know. I still have all the Christmas ornaments and the big face of my dad that drew is hanging on our wall. It's so embarrassing, but it's still there on our wall. I'm going to take it down. It's so, like, I remember stuff more like that than I would the computer things that I did as a senior in high school anymore. So did you basically teach hands-on computer?
And I'd lay awake at night thinking about how could I fix up something that would be exciting, you know, and fix old boxes for reading centers and whatever. But I also noticed this year when Ryan Welp got killed in a car accident, and here he was ready to go to college, and at his wake, I looked up there, and there was a big picture that he'd done in kindergarten. He had done it and painted it, and he had told me something about, he dictated to me, and I'd written it there in my own handwriting, something about Ryan has made this boat, and someday he's going to sail far, far away. And just, you know, as I was waiting in line to go up to the coffin to talk to his parents, someone said to me, oh, I saw a picture up there that he did in kindergarten. And then when I saw that and it said, someday I'm going to get this boat and sail far, far away, it just brought tears to my eyes. And I thought, wasn't that neat that they kept that picture all those years? And they'd had it framed, a great big fancy frame.
Yeah, that's how I just framed real big. It's just sitting there on the wall.
Brooke, only one time did I have to report it. A little boy came in with a big circle on his face, and it looked like a can of fruit or something had hit him in the face. And I said to him, what happened to your face? And he said, my mom got mad last night. She threw a can of corn at me. And it really had blood and hit a little circle on his face. And I suspected that he was being abused from different things, and I knew he'd been locked up a couple of times and left alone, and that really scared me. So I was really nervous because she was a very violent woman, his mother, and I knew she might be getting it. But I still had to report him to child welfare, and during that night, the little boy told his mother that he told me that he was hit, and the next day they were packed up and they were gone. And then years later, they moved back to town. And they're still hearing the same things. They're still having their kids all grown up, but they're a real violent family. And that was really sad because I always wondered what would happen to them. And too, I was kind of afraid, you know, she may get me someday. But I've seen her since, and she hasn't, you know, said anything, so.
Have you ever been afraid to teach in order to
go into a classroom? No, I have never been afraid. There was a father of one of the children that followed me. And I walked to school from where I lived down the old convent, and he was following me because his wife had run away and I knew where she was, and he was, I was very afraid, but as far as the students, I've never been afraid. I'm sure that when I had the big boys and had an eighth grade, I'm sure sometimes they maybe got mad at me, but they never did.
Was it easier for you to teach the older things?
In a way, it was easier, Brooke, because they could do so much more on their own, and I could just talk about projects and they'd take over, you know, and do things. But the little ones, I don't know, my heart was there, I guess. I loved the big, I loved every grade when I had it, but the little ones, it seemed like when I had the old ones, I was always longing for those little ones back again. So once I started kindergarten, then I couldn't. I just didn't want to go back to another grade. I've had different offers, but I'm just loving to pieces. And I always said I want to know before I get too old, you know, and do mean things to students or lose patience with them, and I want to quit teaching before that time comes. And last year I had the most wonderful year of my whole teaching life almost. The children were very good, and I just had a wonderful year with them. So I was glad to go out that way.
Oh, you know. Mm-hmm. Did you ever feel like there was a time that you should be teaching and that this wasn't for you?
Never. Do you know, when I went to school, we walked, it was probably about a mile and a fourth. I think my brother said a mile and a half, but I think it was more near a mile and a fourth. And we lived way, way out in the country, so we went to a little one-room school, all 8 grades in this one little room, probably no bigger than this living room. And at that time, I was most years the only one in my class. So when I got to fourth or fifth grade, the teacher always let me teach the little children, and I get to take their reading lesson, their math lesson, their health lesson. So I was teaching, and I would take them out behind the coal shed when it was warm, and we'd sit out there and I'd help them read, and I don't know, it's wonder I ever learned anything, because most of the time I was teaching someone else, you know, but I always wanted to teach.
Was there any one person that inspired you?
I really don't think so, because those one-room school teachers, most of them were about 90 years old when they were teaching us. You know, the one guy would fall asleep after lunch, and we'd go out and play ball, and so everyone would say, don't anyone go inside, because, you didn't want to wake him up, you don't want to get to play all day. So, no, they weren't too inspiring. I did have one really great teacher in 8th grade, and he let me work on algebra all during 8th grade, so, you know, now you work on algebra when you're in 5th grade, but there you usually didn't, and so then when I went to high school, algebra was like a breeze. You know, I didn't have to work, and everybody was wondering, well, how come? But,
are there any certain qualities that you find in yourself or in other people that would make them your teacher? Or?
Yes, I really believe you have to care with all your heart. And you just, you know, so many times, I don't think I ever took a sick day in 34 years. Because I always felt like even at my worst, I would probably be better than someone coming in as a sub, you know, because I would know the students and be with them. And I figured anything I had, I probably taught to them anyway, so I didn't worry about giving it back to them. But I believe I think teaching is kind of like a mother. You always have to put your own feelings aside and reach out, you know, and you just kind of always have to be there. So that's the way I felt. And I always made sure that if I corrected someone, I'd give them a hug before they went home. Because I just, you know, I would always think at night, did I overreact? Did I overpunish? Did I harm somebody for the rest of their lives? That always worried me. And I'm a very sensitive person, and I can cry easily, and I didn't want to make a child cry easily. You know, but also I believe in discipline, as you probably remember. You had to behave yourself. But you also know I loved you.
Do you have rules in your class that, you know, some rules that you yourself had maybe carried over after you did?
Yes. For one thing, there was just no pouting allowed. And I would encourage and strongly insist on no lying. Just tell me the truth and you won't be in trouble. No pouting, no lying, and don't hurt someone else just because you're angry. If you feel angry, go up in the car or someplace and get over it. But I really was very insistent that a child did not do something that hurt another child because they were mad. One little boy way back, I really had a hard time because he would always bite students. And he would just bite them and bite them. And nothing I did would work. I just didn't teach him. And one day I just picked him up and I pinched his little arm, not real hard, not probably the only time I ever did anything like that to a child. And he's screaming, ouch, that really hurts. But then he learned, and he quit biting, and he never bit anyone. And I've taught his son since, and I still remind him of his little biting episode.
That's
got to
be fun.
It is. They wish, I know all my students pray I would get Alzheimer's, so I'll forget all these things, but because they don't like me to tell their wives or husbands what they did. But I enjoy being able to do that.
Do you have any idea how many students you taught?
Oh my goodness. Almost all the years of kindergarten, which were 24, 25, a lot of times I had 30 in the morning, 30 in the afternoon. and big classes. I think the smallest class I ever had was probably 22, 24 students. And all the years. No, but someday, if my brain holds out, I'm still going to count them up because I have a file downstairs, pictures of when you all were in kindergarten each year, and I like. So if someone comes to me and says, who was in my class? Or I'll say, now, what year were you in kindergarten? Okay, 75, 76, here it is. And you get all the pictures and look through them and say, I didn't know this, oh, I'd forgotten about him, you know. And it's just kind of neat to have those pictures because I did take a lot of pictures of him and he was doing different things.
So do you have a lot of things that you brought home that you
tend to do? I did. Probably too many. I have my own little box of time capsules. I have a little quilt that one year the kindergartners made when we were doing the alphabet. Sometimes I keep papers of one group, you know, that they would do certain things. And now that Jerry and I instruct our young couples before their wedding, I think it's so neat to pull out some of the old kindergarten things and let them see, you know. But just great, great memories, great memories. And when I retired in May, the teachers and the principal and collected letters from all the students from kindergarten through high school, and even grabbed some that were in college and places, and they took time to write those letters. And I try not to be a person who keeps a whole bunch of stuff, but these letters will always be kept. You know, I have two folders full, two albums full there, and I don't know how many downstairs, but I always thought, well, someday I get really low, I can just look through all these and say, well, sometime, somewhere, somebody loved me.
Did you, I know they stressed us now that we need to have a philosophy of things that we need to have in ourselves before we go into the classroom, that you had one of those?
It's funny you ask that because the other day I was cleaning out my very last drawer, my file cabinet, and I had in there different years I'd written my own philosophy of what I believed that I should do as a person, you know, that I should make every person feel good about who they are, you know, no matter whether they learn fast or slow or whatever gifts they have, to always be able to help them find that they have many gifts. And I would often go around the room saying to them, you go around, you say something, can you say something bad about yourself? Well, everyone could say a whole bunch, but I would make them say something good about themselves and they couldn't think. It made me feel sad because I thought, phew, these poor little people, and all we do is tell them bad things and they can't say anything good about themselves. So it would have them to be sure and say, why do they feel good about being who they are? And sometimes you have to let them think because they don't all know that.
Did you ever have students that came in that just didn't want to be there at all? And I don't know as much as in kindergarten, but the upper grades that they just did not want to be there.
Much. I can remember two students, one that I had in fifth grade, that their sisters would come in and write down the homework from the board so that they could make sure they got it the evenings, and they just could have cared less. They would rather not be there. And a couple years ago, one of those students came back, and he was a policeman now in our a fireman in our town. And he was going to give the children a talk about being a firefighter. And he came in and he said, well, kids, he said, I've done this a lot of times. And he said, and that Miss Javon over there, she learned me to read. And I thought, oh my goodness, spare me. And he was one who never wanted to be in school and he could have cared less. And I thought, and here he is, a fire person, back again talking. So I wanted to hide.
Did you, I don't know, like the books now, the lesson plans that they provide in the books, did you have those for kindergarten? The structured textbooks? Because we really didn't have that many textbooks.
No. We really didn't have many textbooks. But I would go through what I would hope to do with you, like the reading program and the sounds and that. I always definitely wrote out my plans each week. I didn't always get them accomplished,
yeah.
But I would write them out. But I never liked to have just one series of anything, I think, because I guess every year you teach, you add on a few more things. And I'm not a person who wants to do the same thing every year. You know, so I would always think, well, how am I going to do this differently? How am I going to do this? And even this summer, I caught myself, I'd be out working the flowers, and I'd think, whoops, I'm not going to do that. You know, yeah. it was really strange.
Mm-hmm. Was it hard for you to have so many different things going? I mean, the different levels and the students, and just always have somebody doing something.
It was. Because the first few weeks, at least, I couldn't get them to speak in a quiet tone of voice because they'd never been used to that. You know, they didn't have to do that before. And so to have this little group over here working, and this little group, and not all just roaming loud, that was a little bit hard. But they soon learned. Because I'd praise them, say, oh, this group is the best this time. You know, and the other group said, what about me? And then they just...
Did you ever use rewards for things like candy?
Not so much candy. We a lot of times would make little sticker charts for each person and sometimes have a treasure out of the treasure box for something. or if I just see someone do something very kind, I'd say, oh, you better get a treasure. That was really nice. And then the past years, I would make their little sticker charts myself and put all the stickers on. But then, if they did something that harmed someone else or something wasn't nice, then I would make them take the sticker off and give it to me. And that hurt much worse than me just handing out stickers to put on their charts. They hated to give them up. This one little guy said, oh, God, I'm going to lose them all. But he really didn't. And then one little boy saw Jerry one day, and he said, Jerry, I lost none stickers this week. And he was so excited. Jerry, you know why he was talking about none stickers? But he didn't lose it. So
when you see your kids out and sit back while you were teaching, they always come up to you and
just give me a hug. Mm-hmm. They do. And still, I had taken the second graders on a tour last week of our church down at St. Mary's. And so they wrote me letters. And yesterday, they'd gone by. And they just miss seeing me in school every day. But I still get to spend 2 hours a week in school.
Oh, really?
So I teach a special lesson, or I do a science lesson, or when the monarch caterpillars were coming along and picked up some caterpillars and took them so they could watch the process of the monarchs hatching out. And I was thinking the other day, I'll probably in the springtime take my incubator down and let the little preschoolers watch children see the ducks hatch or something. It was hard. I thought I was fine in the first week of school. I cry every day. I was going to take some roses down to the secretary, which I did every day when I taught there. And I got in the car and I started crying so hard. I took them over to one of the aides and said, I can't go in school like this. I said, take these roses to her. But then by Wednesday, I was already ready to go down and visit and see all the classroom and go down and see the kindergarten children. And they're always glad when I come back. The children are very respectful. And then my office is where the preschool is now.
Oh, yeah.
So I see them. And then sometimes I hear the little preschoolers screaming, I love my mommy, I love my mommy. And I think, oh, well, it's not so bad, not teaching after all.
Yeah, how did you deal with that? I remember people in our classroom, I remember that a lot.
And it takes a long time. Some of them cry till almost Christmas, almost every morning. And that was hard. You try to be so gentle with them, you love them, you say, well, right now you're here, and then after a while you have to say, well, okay, now, this is enough. And just try to ignore them, and still you want to just take them on your lap and hug them, because they poor little things. But I would say their crying at the beginning was probably the hardest for me, because I knew their mothers were worried. But oftentimes, since their mothers would leave the room, they were fine. So then I would tell my aide, go run in there and call their mother and say, they're not crying, don't you worry.
Well, even the first grade class that I was in, some of them still cry. Some of the teachers are just like, well, okay, right now, and that's just kind of all they think about it. But sometimes I think it would help more to talk about it and make them feel more reassured and feel better. Knowing that their mom's alright, that they're alright,
Yeah, I just would talk. Yeah, we just stop and talk about it. Or if something would happen to someone, or when I was teaching and my dad died and I came back and everyone wanted to mention my dad, that they thought, oh, they can't mention him because then I would be upset. And so one day I just said, well, let's just talk about my dad for a little bit. You knew him, you know. He loved to come in here and see all of you. And then they were so happy. And I said, let you draw a picture of him. And that'll just make me feel fine. And when we talked about it, and my boy said, looks like you're going to cry. And I said, you know, I almost feel like crying when my dad died. You know, it was just, it helped me a lot. It helped them.
Did you ever have anything happen that you
Yes. Well, I think only one time. And I'll never forget, anytime I ever see the family, I think about it. We were going to make fudge. It was F week, and we were making fudge. And we had a little double boiler and a hot plate in the room. And I had a little girl who was teetotal, hyperactive, ADHD to the nth degree. But we didn't have that labeled at that time, but she was hyperactive. She'd been pitched out of the public kindergarten, and they would not let her come back, so they asked, could she come to ours? And she would take off her clothes. She had new underwear. She wanted everybody to see her new underwear. She'd take off her clothes. Here I was down the rug trying to put her clothes back on her, and the principal comes in. It looks like I'm declothing her or something. But she just couldn't stay still, so I always had to have one arm around her. And we were making the fudge, and everyone was taking their turn, and I was making everyone get back in the circle. And that little gal grabbed me and pulled me back, and the water in our double boiler hit a little boy's ankle down his sock. I tore his shoe off, picked him up, and stuck him in the sink, and turned the cold water on his sock and foot and all. And his twin sister was in there, and he, you know, of course he let out a scream. And I told all the children, go next door to the teacher wants to read you a story. I said, and they came over there and said, Mr. Vaughn said, you want to read us a story? So she knew something had happened. And I was taking care of him and took his sock off, and his skin came off with his sock. I was so scared, and I had the secretary call his dad to come and get him. And I, you know, I was just shaking so hard. And this poor little boy, I said, oh, Daniel and Bridget Gray and the twins. I said, I was wishing this wouldn't happen to you. I wish it could happen to me and not you. And he said, you know what? I was just wishing it wouldn't happen to anyone. He was such a darling little boy. His daddy took him to the hospital. And just a little bit, there was a knock at the door, and here was Daniel back. He wanted to come back and eat his fudge.
Give it candy.
And I thought that dad, you know, I thought the dad would just be upset, the parents would be upset with me. And when he took him to the hospital, and I went in the bathroom and cried. And finally got a hold of myself, went back in and took the children. But that, you know, for nights I would hear him scream, that one scream, move his face. But that is about the worst that had happened.
Did the school in itself change how their idea of how to run the school? I mean, with the different principal that came in, that had to be tough getting to see people.
Yes, we had some very, very good principals. And some principals that was very difficult. I've never had a bunch of trouble getting along with anyone. But we had one principal who was a little bit, had some mental problems. And she didn't like any of us very well, because I don't think she liked herself a bunch. And that was really hard. It was really hard. But I would just try to lose myself. I just try to get in my room, do my thing with my children, try not to bother anyone, try to report things I need to report, and, you know, just, but that made me nervous.
Was there any other teachers in school that you didn't get along with that made you
jump? Not really. Most of us had taught together for a long time. When I first moved from St. Mary's School, when we put the schools together and moved down to St. Simon's School, I was the only teacher moving from that school to this school. We had quite a, you know, St. Mary's didn't do things like St. Simon's, but I wasn't there, I don't think, 2 weeks till I just got real at home, but I was scared to go there by myself. I thought, oh, I don't have a friend in the world, but they were just wonderful, and I've really enjoyed, of course, Martha Pageant. She and I taught together every year, but 2 years of our teaching life, and she even came back and did student teaching in my room.
Is she still there?
Uh-huh. So we had a good time when she was doing the student teaching, and it was like two teachers teaching together, and we had a great time.
Were you always in the classroom by yourself? Did you ever?
I had student teachers, and then kindergarten aide think that was all. And then the last few years, Mary Lynn and I, Mary Lynn Wilson and I, we were team teachers in kindergarten. I did like the Christian Living and Science and Reading and Readiness, and she did the math and printing. And then we did all the other things together, all of our art and cooking and all that together.
Do they have two teachers in there now?
Just one.
Just one,
though. She has morning, and then she'll have afternoon.
I know some of the activities that we did that did anything that, I mean, like, besides like the learning thing we do, like now I do a lot of things, like one grade do the same thing. Did you have anything you did in kindergarten that went right into first grade that carried, like, besides like the actual learning of the math and like anything?
I don't know if it perhaps. I can't remember the science. I usually just did the themes, like the, you know, hatching, and I would start teaching them about, you know, growing and how the baby began to grow and all those kinds of things, and then hopefully it would continue. But as far as the real themes, I can't remember that, Brooke. I just tried to get them. I would never let a kindergarten child go on unless they knew their sounds and letters, so that they would be ready, and most of you were reading before you left. If a child just couldn't seem to learn those things, then I wouldn't send them on to first grade, keep them another year, and I never had too much trouble with parents. Just one or two maybe did not want to do that because they felt like that was putting them down or something. And children didn't care, and they were all glad to stay another year. They, you know, I just tell them they were going to be my helper the next year, and they thought it was great, and everybody wanted to stay, so it didn't matter.
Did the school itself have certain guidelines that everyone had to meet before they could go on to the next grade, or was that kind of left up?
No, I think it was kind of left up to me. And I think probably in most of the public schools, I don't think you could officially hold a kindergarten child back at that time. I don't know now, but I don't think they do. But you can encourage them to stay back, but I think, because really, as far as I know, the Indiana law does not even make a child go to kindergarten yet, and that may change, but I don't think that they have to have kindergarten. But my, you know, from the time I started out teaching, no one going to kindergarten until the time I finished, almost everyone had gone to kindergarten.
It makes difference. I know what
it was.
Did you ever feel like there was a time when you didn't know what the best thing to do, but you didn't accomplish what you wanted to get done?
Especially the year I worked, that was the first year when I had all those students, and I was so worried that they didn't get the proper phonics. You know, in those days we had reading groups, maybe three or four reading groups, so, you know, if you have 56, 58 students, you have a tough time and no aid and no help. And I always worried about those poor children. I thought, I just didn't feel like that I could get enough phonics taught, and some of them you needed to learn other ways besides the phonetic approach. Some children can't hear the phonics, they just can't. And I felt always worried about that, because I thought. And I think from that year then I became so aware of trying to get everyone on their own levels and helping them, but whew, you're worried about your first year teaching anyway, and I just prayed somewhere God would help those poor children, because I was afraid I didn't help them as much as I should have.
Is there a set number now as soon as you can have in the classroom?
Not for our school, no. But most of the classes down there now have 18, maybe not quite 18, some of them have 14, 15. So it's not too bad, and it's not, of course we just have a lower level of children too, I don't remember. So it's going, so the classes are smaller.
I know, like, in this elementary school, I know they have 5 first grades. And
that's
ends up being schools, and they've got it split down to about 18 class as an elementary
school. So that's good. Do they have any aides in the first grade?
No. I know, like, the lady that she doesn't. I come in, and then there's another USF student that comes in throughout the different times, so she doesn't get sound help. But, I mean, after Christmas, she'll know herself, because we'll be dead with it.
Oh, wow.
But she doesn't really the center kind of things and that. One thing I've noticed about her is she doesn't ever raise her voice. She doesn't raise her voice to get the kids' attention. And even when they've done the whole school, last week the entire school was in the gym for the Shriners, so this brother was 630-pound big thing I've ever seen in my life. But and even they didn't even really raise their voice to get the kids' attention. I don't know. And I don't remember really yelling at
Now, you really don't have to. I don't think you have to. Most of the time, what I would do is just stop and be completely quiet. I want everyone to be quiet. And I remember one time, students were a little bit noisy, and I just stopped and stood there. And one little boy said, "Miss Yvonne, don't look at me with mean eyes." And I was just waiting for him to quit talking. So he felt my... correcting him whether I was saying it, but I don't think I've ever screamed at a child or ever had to raise my voice.
Things that kids have done that you don't want to laugh at, but I mean, is it hard for you to hold that?
So? Oh my, was it ever. The funniest thing just comes to my mind is two little boys, you know, our room was right next to the boys' restroom. And under that sink, there's a big hole cut out, Jen, so the pipe will go in. Well, you could hear everything in the boys' restroom, and I heard them in there, and I knew something was going on. And I went in, and they were seeing who could wet on the wall the higher. And it was so funny, because when they saw my face, they just, oh my. So I picked one up and put in the sink on this end, and put the other one up and set him in the sink here. And I had to leave the bathroom, because I had to control myself. I was laughing so hard. And when I left, he said, "Oh, God, her is mad." And then when I heard this, I had to laugh some more. And then I said, "I will be back in when I get over being so angry at you." But it was just so funny that they were really scared. And I really never ended up having to say anything to them because they were shaking. And I picked him up out of the sink and brought him back in. And that was about the end. But yes, it was always hard. Other teachers would say they could tell when someone had done something funny because I would take my chin and kind of wipe at it like this and just keep from laughing. But many times, and I was thinking of six older brothers all my life, you know, the things they did were really sometimes terrible beside what these little people had done. So I've always had a pretty good sense of humor, getting tickled about what people do. It's hard not to laugh when it used to be. I guess my favorite thing in all the world is every Holy Thursday when we have our Holy Thursday celebration. And I don't know if this is supposed to relate to religion or not, but anyway. It's a Christian value, and that morning I would bake bread for the whole school, and we'd go down, and each class would come down so very serious and so quiet, and we'd have all these classes, two fifth grades, fourth, third, second, first, and two kindergarten groups, and it would be completely quiet to pray together and remember the Lord's Last Supper. And then later, the children would always say, "Is it about that time? It's about that time." And I would tease them. I'd say, "I don't know if you want to pray so much. It's just the bread you want to smell and eat, you know." Because they liked that wheat and honey bread because it was real sweet. But to me, that was a very, very special time. And I was just so proud of all the students to take something so seriously to remember a special time like this. And because they put their little hands out for us to wash and dry, and they just, oh, their little hearts just looked so innocent and sweet. I just wanted to grab every one of them, you know. It was just, that was one of the most special things. And we used to do a field day, too, that was really fun. Near the end of school, have all these races and do fun things. And we always did that with kindergarten, but we did it for the whole school for many years, and I just loved that day being kind of tomboyish myself. I loved to do all these races and organize these things, and it was just a great day. Fun for free.
I remember going to the park and seeing the potato down the hill.
Sure. Right.
Did you ever go on any field trips besides
to
the park?
Oh, a lot of field trips. We used to take the children before the last few years we had not been allowed to have mothers to drive, so we'd have to always get a bus. So you can't always get a bus. But we used to go out to my brother's farm, and they would get to pick apples, and his farm was a sand farm, so that day they could get as dirty as they liked, and dig and dig and dig, and just you'd dig a hole for way, way down, because that's all there is sand. And I remember while we were there one day, a little girl lost her tooth, her very first tooth, and we looked and looked and looked and looked, and looked in the sand, and she was crying because she knew the tooth. She had it in the box, brought it down, put it in the sand, and we found it. And the little girl was fine, so she saved the day by having a tooth saved for years. And we used to always go to the fire station, and we would go to the hospital, go through the recovery room, so if they ever had to have their tonsils out and they woke up, they could know where they would be. And we'd go to the nursing home, and one year we went to the bank, one year we went to Arnold's grocery market. Where else? Oh, we always went to the dentist's office and Dr. Joe's office out at the clinic. And we went on lots of field trips. I remember we went out to Kate Smith's farm one time and let him dig potatoes and ride the horses. And we went to the Amish farm one time and they got to ride in the part of the buggy. And we went to a turkey farm. Had a field trips. But those were kind of cut back then. I took an inferno, too, to do square dancing for the old sisters one day. And they loved that. They especially loved the cemetery. They go from place to place. They loved that. The greatest thing is the love and generosity of the students forever and ever, it seems like. My husband teases me because he said he can't go anywhere unless, you know, we're stopped many times by talking to a mother or grandmother or whoever about the students. But I guess the love that people seem to have continued, you know, even though I'm not teaching them anymore, it's just so rewarding to see these people. And as I see them, the children I used to teach get married and have children of their own, and I look at them with this little baby, and it's just, the baby's so precious to them, and I think, oh, wow, it's just beautiful. I guess I feel like an old grandmother, you know. Because one of the little ones the other day said to me, "Are you a grandmother?" And I said, "No, I didn't get to have any children. I didn't get married till I was really old after my parents died, and I took care of them, and so I didn't get to be a grandmother." And he said, "Well, are you a mother?" And I said, "No, I'm not a mother, and I'm not a grandmother." And one little boy said, "Well, you are, too." He said, "You could be all of our grandmothers." It was so cute. And I thought, well, that's neat.
Is there any one thing that really surprised you about teaching, like maybe from the students you saw when you had them in kindergarten and you seen that? Are there any of them that really surprised you how they turned out or that you didn't think of?
I'm not sure surprised. I guess this year, it was earlier, it was around June, I guess I was called down to the jail, and I went down to be with one of the girls I used to teach. And when I went there, there were two of my other students there, and my heart felt a little sad, you know, and I guess probably as parents sometimes go in their own mind and say, "Well, I wonder what I did wrong." I thought, you know, I had a little tinge of that, and I thought, well, I can't blame myself, but at the same time, it made me feel kind of bad. And it always, if I hear on the news like this year when we had that terrible murder deal going on, and it said Stephen Hale, and I thought it was Stephen Hale I caught, and immediately I just started crying because I thought of his parents, and not that I wanted to be any Stephen Hale, but when I thought it was my student, it really tore me up. And then when I found out that it wasn't the one that I knew or taught, I felt relieved.
I think everyone was a little shocked on that one, because I was at school when I found out.
So that's the thing, I guess I always hope and pray that that I'll never have to experience one of my students getting into deep trouble. Or it's hard when a student that I had dies. Because I just think, I just become attached, and sometimes I think, you know, it's really sad. All I ever want to do is have a whole house full of kids, you know. And but then I think, well, maybe if I had 6 or 7 children of my own, maybe I would not have loved all of you as much as I did. And you just, you know, became my children, and I felt a need to not only teach you but nurture you and love you. And maybe I wouldn't have done that had I had a house full to go home to.
Preoccupied.
That's true. That's true. So I just. So, well, that was all in the plan, you know, that because I'll always care about people in this town and care what happens to them, and maybe I wouldn't have had as much energy to have done that. So, I'm just grateful for what I've had.
You know. I'll wrap it up. If there is any one thing that you could change, maybe not just like one, but maybe a certain thing you could change over all of your years of teaching or how.
It's a hard question. Probably I would just hope that I was never too impatient with anyone. With any parent, you know, sometimes you have to be very honest with a parent, and I hope that that honesty never really hurt them, but that they could take it for what I meant it to be, to help them. And I would just hope that that I never, you know, I can't remember any time of being out of sorts or that impatient with a person. But I'm sure it happens sometimes. And that would be one thing I would, you know, want to erase, that anyone would have a feeling that I made them, put them down or made them feel less than what they are. That would be my biggest thing. Because I can't think of one student that I didn't just love to pieces and wouldn't love to see again. You know, and it seemed like the eyes of the people. There was one boy, he must be in his 20s, and he saw me not too long ago, and he said, "What's my name?" And I said, "Take your sunglasses off and let me look at your eyes, and I can tell you." And I could. And usually the eyes, you know, even though I haven't seen some of these people, oh, you can imagine, for 34 years or something, I can name them.
Do you remember?
Very seldom does someone come up to me and say, "You taught me," and that I can't remember. Very seldom. I can't remember my own name sometimes. But, so I've had a wonderful life being a teacher, and I wouldn't change what I've done with my life. But I'm happy to work with old people now, too, and see that they also need somebody to hold their hand and give them a hug.
Sorry. I don't need that place here.
I work full-time at the parish.
Oh, really?
With our shut-ins, sick, with the bereaved, plan a funeral luncheon for them, and then go visit. That's what I've been doing this morning, is visiting the shut-ins and the sick. And I tried to make my rounds today to see the people who've lost their mother, like Michelle Seiler, and different ones today. And that's what I continue to do. Visit the hospital and nursing homes, and we do marriage preparation and also marriage counseling. I'm never without a job.
You wouldn't know what to do. Sit for a day.
but I'm going to tomorrow.
Well, yeah,
tomorrow I'm going to take a day off, and we've had both of our families here the last 2 weekends, so tomorrow I'm going to read the paper and drink coffee till noon. We've been enjoying
it. Good afternoon.
Well, I probably couldn't stand that we're early up. We're 5 o'clock up and having coffee, but I just enjoy the day. I just enjoy life. I'm very lucky with it. I took care of my parents and held both of them as they died. And held my husband down while he died in my arms. And I'm so lucky to have another life with Jared. And I just have always been blessed. And I'm very happy. At the age of nearly 56. Your mother said, can you imagine Brooke going to teach? And I said, yes, I can. I really can. I think it was through your mother's teaching, and you make a wonderful teacher. You really
will.
I was
trying to get me to go to her classroom. She said, come on. I don't want to grade papers.
Right.
I said, no, I need help. So I'm probably not going in there afterwards.
Mm-hmm. And I wish you good luck in your teaching, and just work hard and love everybody, and you'll be happy. It's been fun to relive these times.
I can't imagine when I ask my father too, I can't imagine how many kids we've had, how many students we've had. Just in my class, we had 50.
Oh, just yeah. 50 at least.
And we've been about 30 some years ago.